Foundation.
What it lets them share is within their own system. They can move information around. But the real desire was to be able to help a patient who ends up in an emergency room in a hospital outside their system, perhaps in another state. We are nowhere near having that happen.
Listen to Innovations in Health IT Tuesdays at 10 and 2 on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.
Verizon Enterprise Solutions designs, builds, and operates the networks and mobile technologies that enable healthcare organizations to expand reach and increase agility. Powered by investments in security, cloud, LTE, and global IP networking, their solutions meet the demands and challenges shaping technology in healthcare today. Visit VerizonEnterprise.com to see how their solutions and technical expertise meet your pressing demands with solutions purpose-built for healthcare delivery. That's VerizonEnterprise.com.
Experience the difference of FederalNewsRadio.com. DOD reporter Jared Serbu.
Over the next few months, sailors throughout the Navy can expect to see new consequences when they violate the service's cybersecurity policies. Officials say penalties for letting intruders into a government network, even accidentally, are only applied sporadically throughout the fleet. Navy leaders are building an accountability template for cyber in the hopes that consequences will be enforced more uniformly.
Experience the difference. Jared Serbu on FederalNewsRadio.com.
33 past the hour. Welcome back to the Federal Drive with Tom Temin, federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. The Homeland Security Department is revving up efforts to secure civilian government networks. Now, that announcement comes as some DOD officials say the United States is entering a global Cold War, a cyber Cold War. Federal News Radio Scott Massioni's got more.
As 22 million federal workers know, the government's civilian network is not as secure as it should be. This summer, government employees had their social security numbers, security clearance statuses, and other personal data compromised in a massive data breach. Since then, the trust in the Office of Personnel Management has been low. Federal workers are afraid that more of their data could be stolen by crime organizations or foreign countries. The Department of Homeland Security is trying to build back some of that trust and bolster the security of civilian networks. Secretary of Homeland Security Jay Johnson announced a new security initiative at the Federal Times CyberCon conference in Arlington, Virginia.
I have directed an aggressive timetable for improving cybersecurity for the federalcivilian.gov network. As the OPM breach painfully demonstrated, our federal cybersecurity efforts are not where they need to be. But we are improving by detecting and blocking more and more intrusions every day.
Johnson didn't go into specifics on what the timetable entailed or what kind of benchmarks DHS has planned. DHS also did not respond to questions in time for this story. The fact is, though, that federal agencies reported more than 67,000 cyber incidents in 2014 alone. Cyber incidents on federal agencies have grown every year since 2006, and those are just the incidents that are detected and reported by agencies. In tandem with the aggressive timetable for securing civilian networks, Johnson said DHS already has a number of cybersecurity programs it has put in place.
We recently made the first phase of our continuous diagnostics and mitigation program available to 97% of the federalcivilian.gov. We met these milestones weeks ahead of schedule. This program, known as CDM, helps federal agencies identify and fix problems on their networks in near real time. Agencies are now working diligently to deploy CDM. Once fully implemented, CDM tools will monitor agency networks internally for vulnerabilities that could be exploited by bad actors that have breached the perimeter. Next, on October 31st, we reached a major milestone in our efforts to automate our sharing of cyber threat indicators. Our system to send and receive this cyber threat information in near real time is now up and running. We're working with multiple agencies and private sector partners to expand the number of those sharing and receiving information through this automated system.
DHS has also increased the implementation of the Einstein Intrusion and Detection Prevention System, otherwise known as E3A. E3A now protects 47% of the federal government. The program has blocked more than 700,000 attempts to steal government data or disrupt government systems. Johnson's directive is especially apt now that cyber's become more and more of an issue for the government and private businesses. Defense Information Systems Agency Director Lieutenant General Alan Lynn says the country is in the midst of an economic, cyber Cold War.
Imagine a country that is working a long war fight that is not interested in a dramatic one-day cyber tactical advantage, but a 20-year plan to periodically do a cyber takedown of a Sony, Home Depot, a Target. I mean, name your company. It costs pennies to conduct those attacks and millions of dollars to fix them. So that economic equation is troubling enough. But if your goal is really, over time, to erode global consumer confidence in the U.S. digital retail and wholesale goods and businesses, think about that. And think about where we're heading. Uber, the world's largest taxi company, owns no taxis. It's cyber. Amazon surpassed Walmart as the largest retailer this summer. It's not brick and mortar, it's cyber.
DoD has made significant investments in its cyber capabilities since last year. In November 2014, then-Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel announced the Defense Innovation Initiative. The initiative aims to sustain the United States' technological superiority through investments in cyber, space, and nuclear programs. Defense Secretary Ash Carter has run with the program since taking Hagel's place. Carter created the Defense Innovation Unit Experimental in Silicon Valley to expand partnerships with tech companies. Additionally, DISA stood up a new cyber headquarters in January. The Joint Force headquarters serves as an operational arm to conduct defensive and offensive missions within the Defense Department's networks. Lynn says the headquarters has already conducted 7 named operations. Part of the problem with cyber is that it's so new, the rules of conduct are ambiguous. Lynn mentioned that gray area in his speech.
In DoD, we've recognized that our adversaries out there will use cyberspace for recruiting people, to taking down command and control and SCADA systems that could cause damage to power plants, cooling systems, water facilities, and many more. In short, we expect a cyber attack as a prelude to war. So what I find really interesting about this situation in this daily war fight is that no one knows where the red line is yet. When do you cross the line that starts a kinetic war?
The Obama administration is trying to establish some sort of order with the cyber agreement it signed with China in September. That agreement prohibits the theft of intellectual property by each nation. However, there are no established sanctions for breaking the agreement. Government officials have been highly skeptical of China's ability to stick to its word. Speaking before the Senate Armed Services Committee, Deputy Defense Secretary Bob Work, National Security Agency Director Admiral Mike Rogers, and Director of National Intelligence James Clapper all expressed concern. Clapper said the Chinese have extensively purloined U.S. data in the past. DHS will be part of the continuing talks with China regarding the agreement.
Finally, as a means of ensuring that these commitments are upheld, we agreed to a regular ministerial-level dialogue on these issues, involving on the U.S. side, the Secretary of Homeland Security, that's me, and the Attorney General. The first of these meetings will occur in Washington on December 1st and 2nd. Last week, Deputy Secretary Mayorkas led a U.S. delegation to Beijing to meet with senior Chinese officials in preparation for these December meetings. Time will tell whether the Chinese government's commitments in writing are matched by action. Our next round of meetings is on December 1st and 2nd, and they will be an important indicator.
Still, the China agreement does not draw any red lines for the U.S. to follow. Senator Tim Kaine of Virginia and Senator Mike Rounds of South Dakota have become the most recent members of Congress to call for a serious cyber policy from the Defense Department. Congress directed DoD to come up with a clear strategy on cyber. DoD claims it has one, but it just hasn't made it completely public. Congress says the lack of a public red line does not serve as a cyber deterrent to other nations. If other nations don't know what the consequences are, what will keep them from attacking? Senator Angus King of Maine summed it up during a hearing in September.
But the whole point of being able to respond is deterrence so that the attack won't occur. Dr. Strangelove taught us that if you have a doomsday machine and no one knows about it, it's useless. So having a secret plan as to how we'll respond isn't the point I'm trying to get at. The deal is they have to know how we will respond and therefore not attack in the first place.
From Washington, Scott Massioni, Federal News Radio, and 1500 AM.